Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Read More podcast brought to you by In Perspective TV. Today's subject matter includes Miss Victoria Amodu. Now, this happened a couple days ago, but on Craigslist, you have a section where you could buy furniture fairly cheap. You can get it fairly priced. Sometimes even free. It's just like when you're driving through the alley in urban areas, or you're driving through the junkyard or some places like that where they got furniture for dibs. So that's what happened to Miss Victoria Amodu on Craigslist. I'm going to read y'all the article. A California woman made a stunning discovery after bringing home a set of sofas that she found on Craigslist. More than $36,000 was stashed inside of a cushion. Vicky Amodu of San Bernardino was browsing Craigslist in search of furniture for a new home when she stumbled upon a free listing that included two sofas and a matching chair. Amodu was initially wary of the free offer, telling ABC7, "I said maybe it's a gimmick, let me call them." Upon calling the family that was giving away the furniture, Amodu learned that a family member had recently died, so the family was selling everything at the relative's property. Quoted, "I just moved in. I don't have anything in my house. I was so excited. So we picked it up and I brought it in." Once Amodu brought the sofa home, she closely examined their condition and she noticed something odd. There was something bulky inside one of the sofas. She thought it was a heat pad at first. She quickly dismissed that. She thought it was electrical cord because, you know, I guess the sofa has some type of part to it where it kind of had a lazy boy to it. It leaned back. So Miss Amodu unzipped the cushion, and to her surprise, she found envelopes stuffed with thousands of dollars in cash. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not, well, from what I can tell, this is not fake. In today's media world, you never know, but there's video. I'm going to bring this video up for y'all. We're just gonna go from there. But ABC7, all the media outlets were on top of this. They actually went inside her home and kind of got to witness. This happened on June 5th. The reason why I'm reporting on it today is because I actually spoke to Miss Amodu by phone. I'll let y'all hit that recording when I pull all this stuff up. I actually spoke to her, and she was nice enough to talk to me. I'm a stranger, but she wanted to know, if it's just so many scams out here. So what I did was I emailed over to her all of my credentials and my media stuff, my media kit and all of that. And she was like, "Yeah, I'll talk to you. I'll go for it." So in the media world is what you kind of have to do. If you want to get these, get some stories. So me and her, we talked, but I want to show you this video of the actual incident. One second. We're going to share this this screen. So this is ABC7 at her house, and this is the couch that she bought. So she returned the money, folks. She returned the $36,000 when her and her son came across it. She quickly made a decision to be noble and return it. I talked to her on the phone. I'll let you guys hear the recording. I don't know what I would have done. You know, I found $100 on the ground. There was nobody around to claim it, so I took it. It was mine, you know. Because who's to say that 36 grand was the guy she bought this couch from? Or they gave her the couch, but she was noble when she returned it. And I guess the relative had it stashed away in the couch. And, you know, there it is. I don't know many people who would have got a free couch and found enough money to buy them some property inside of it and returned it. I don't know nobody like that, you know. So I'm going to let y'all hit his phone call. And we'll kind of go from there. We'll kind of go from there. And I want to hear people's feedback on this. I want to know what you think in terms of, you know, when you got a large sum of money that you found, would you seek out to return it? Now, credit cards and IDs and things of that nature, because that becomes, you know, borderline identity theft. I remember I lost my wallet. I lost my wallet a couple times. The first time I lost it, I lost my wallet. I was at in our old neighborhood at a little old school reunion, and I dropped it somewhere. I'm calculated. At the time, I worked for the DMV where you get your driver's license at. And I was right in the process of moving. Like, I was probably 2 or 3 weeks away from moving into my new place. So before I actually moved there, I changed the address on my driver's license. So my address, my driver's license had my new address on there. I dropped my whole wallet. I was so pissed. Went to the police station, filled a report out. And ladies and gentlemen, when I moved into my new place, my wallet was in my mailbox. So that's a blessing. And it just goes to show you just never know. But 36 G's, that's a different story. You know, who wants to, the average law-abiding citizen don't know why, don't want nobody ID, you know, credit cards. They got their own credit cards and IDs. But today, in today's scamming world, you know how it goes. But I want to let you guys hear this call from Miss Vicky Emoto. I talked to her earlier today. It's pre-recorded.
When you found the money, was it you cleaning the couch or was it did it fall out? Like, what happened?
What happened was that so I decided to put it into my head. And this was
yeah, and so I was reading that you reached out to the person that you got the couch from. What was his reaction when you called back? Right. And so did your son and your family, were they against you returning money, or was that something? Right. one of one. I don't think anybody that I know of would Richardson or Noble to return that money. I'm glad you were rewarded for your efforts. I think that it was such a blessing. We need more people like you on this planet. So some of the questions I had, I know people, media, and things that appreciate you taking my call. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
Yeah. So I talked to Miss Victoria Modu from California. So she returned the money, and the person she returned it to gave her a reward of $2,200. And she bought some different appliances and stuff like that. So I think the moral of the story is, a couple things from this story, because I didn't go into great detail with her, but just looking at some of the news reports and things online and just the little time I did talk to her, she's not a woman of great wealth. And I'm not either. Most of us are not, society we live in. But she pretty much went to an apartment. She moved into an apartment with nothing. When you move into a new place, it's expensive. If you move around a lot or you get rid of things a lot, it becomes expensive. So she moved in with nothing and she found the free couch. And she's probably wondering, well, how am I going to get my stove, or how am I going to get my refrigerator, and how am I going to get all these extra things? And lo and behold, the free couch she got has enough money in there to get everything in there. Like, there's enough money in there. Probably can't buy no property in California, or, you know, because California's expensive, especially Southern California. But there's enough money in there to do a lot of things with, not to be rich, but enough for you, if you use it right, to sustain. Like, if I had 37 G's right now, I can do 37 G's. That will help me sustain all the way into my retirement years, because all the little preliminary debt that I have, which is not a lot, that can probably be covered with 10 grand, knock that off. And the rest of it, I'll just invest it and just do, maybe get some foreclosed property with it, and that'll sustain, because you'll be able to buy some heart with it. But yeah, she returned it. And so she ended up getting a $2,200 reward, and she got all her appliances. So I guess in her mind, she got everything she needed. But what do you guys think? I want you guys to comment. Talk to me about that in the comment section on YouTube and Instagram. We're going to move right along. Moving along. A children's museum in Indianapolis. I think they have a food section, or like a little section where you can buy food within the museum, like most museums do. I'm going to pull this up so you guys can see it. I'm going to share the screen here. And this is the stuff I be talking about. These white supremacists, because that's a white supremacist mindset. It has to be. That's not a mistake. A Juneteenth watermelon salad. Dig that. A Juneteenth watermelon salad. So I guess someone was within the museum, because Indianapolis has a nice black population and other ethnic groups. Took a picture of it and started circulating. Everybody's been reporting on it. The media cycle is like, it lasts probably 3 seconds when it comes to stories, even big stories, unless it's some OJ or Tupac type stuff. But the media cycle is very thin. But anyway, so the Children's Museum of Indianapolis faced criticism last week for offering what was labeled a Juneteenth watermelon salad in their food court. A photo of the packaged salad circulated across social media as the museum was inviting attendees on Facebook to its Juneteenth Jamboree. See, these people, they're so insensitive, and they were probably, if not racist, they probably had a separatist mindset anyway to begin with. And I'll get more into that a little bit later. And they have all these great ideas in their mind. You're about to have a Juneteenth celebration, right? And you do that. The first problem is you're having a Juneteenth celebration. That's the first problem. And I say I was going to get more into that later, but you really have to tie it all into it now. I did a little research on the Children's Museum in Indianapolis. I'm not sure how much government funding they get. Most of it looks like donors, but everybody on their board is white. I'll show those photos. They had one token black dude. They had a Zoom call because they work from home too, a little bit over the pandemic. They had a Zoom call. I saw one black guy. No black women. None of that. It was all white men and white women, mostly what I saw. And then the president and the vice president are both white. And then they have a donors list. Everybody that donates on the board of directors and all the advisory board and all that stuff. And you can't judge a person by his names. I know a friend of mine who has a straight off the boat Irish name, and she is black, as original as I am. We all got slave names. But anyway, just judging by that list of people who donate and who are on the advisory board and who are on the board of directors, it ain't no brothers and sisters. I mean, it's Indiana. The population of black folks, of FBA folks, is a lot smaller than what we have here in Chicago because we're a bigger urban area. But yeah. So you're having a Juneteenth celebration. Ain't no Juneteenth minded folks nowhere in the fabric of your organization. So that was your first mistake. And you had this bright idea to put together a fucking Juneteenth watermelon salad. Maybe I can go along with it if it was just the June. I couldn't go along with that shit. It's like, why? Just sell salad. Why you got to put labels on everything? Because y'all marketing and y'all capitalizing off this stuff. Just like how they had the damn Juneteenth ice cream thing at Walmart. Great value. I talked about that last week. Same shit. Right? You're capitalizing off this stuff. This is why I kind of didn't want Juneteenth to be a holiday. Because things that are holidays will happen. Holidays are directly related to capitalism and money and marketing. This is what we got to deal with. So, moving right along, they said, and quote, "As a museum, we apologize and acknowledge the negative impact that stereotypes have on our communities of color, blah, blah, blah. The salad has been removed from the menu. We are currently reviewing how we may best convey these stories and traditions during this year's Juneteenth celebration, as well as making changes around how future food selections are made by our food service. I have a suggestion. It's very easy. The way that you convey the message of tradition of black people in Juneteenth, put some more black folks on your fucking board. I'll share that screen, right? I will share this screen right now. Where the heck is it? I know I got it somewhere. Give me a second, folks. I got this thing in Microsoft Windows and I don't know what it's doing. Dun, 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 dun. I'm not sure if I'm able to share that screen. So maybe I'll just, once this is edited, you guys will be able to see it. But as you can see, there's a Zoom call here that they had back in 2021 or 2020. One black person on a whole Zoom call. And it's like at least 12 to 15 people on their call. You know, Jennifer Pace Robinson, president and CEO, white woman. Board chair, Michael Sherman, white man. The board of trustees and advisors. Look at these names. Y'all can Google these people. You can research them. But how you best convey a message and how you alleviate things like this. First off, black folks in Indianapolis, you need your own museum. Start putting your money together to build a foundation of the historical FBA people over in Indianapolis. That's the first thing, right? This children's museum, if you're really sincere, get not people of color, get some black people on your board and within your staff, not just volunteers and using black people for advertisement on your marketing materials, right? That's how you can best convey that. And then how you best convey it economically is whoever your food vendor is for your food court, find me a black vendor that's 100% black owned and let them come down there and make some of the millions of dollars that y'all making off that food. Because, and then if it's a black company down there that wants to do something Juneteenth with their particular food that they're making, I don't have a problem with it. Because we're capitalizing off of it. I have a problem with it when y'all start capitalizing off of it. You want to apologize and ain't nothing us eating from it. That's what I got a problem with. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Read More Podcast. Follow us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor, YouTube, and Instagram. I'll holla.